Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, there's a question back and forth among Bible scholars. What is the treasure? What is the field? And who is the one that purchases the field? While I was growing up, it was standard interpretation that the treasure is the kingdom of God, and when we come upon the kingdom of God, it is worth so much that we would give up anything and everything to have that kingdom of God. And then somebody decided to turn the parable on its head and say, wait a minute, what if the one who is purchasing the field is not me, but instead Jesus? In other words, is the treasure the kingdom of God and we are the ones getting it? Or is the treasure the kingdom of God and Jesus is the one purchasing it, and that treasure, the kingdom of God, is actually you and me? But there's another sermon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson, Romans 8, especially. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, really? Say to these things, what things? Well, you look around and the world is in a mess. It's in a turmoil of a mess. It's in a catastrophe of a turmoil of a mess. Nations against each other, hatred and violence in our cities. Friends at odds with each other because somebody voiced an opinion and now somebody is unfriending and defriending. And then there's that virus going around. How do we respond? What do we say to these things? Do we become fearful and angry? Or do we say that, well, everything is chance and life is cheap, so eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die? Or is there another answer? See, the verses in Romans 8 are actually one of Paul's great confessions of faith. And Paul is in the middle of all kinds of things happening. This comes from somebody who faced more than most of us ever will. He was imprisoned, flogged, in danger of death. 5 times received the 39 lashes. 3 times beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead, 3 times shipwrecked, and he had gone without sleep, gone without food, gone without water. And in all of that, his boast was in Christ. He talked about himself as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. And what is the key that unlocks that? When you read through Romans 8, 28 to 39, you ask the question, who is the doer of the doing? And that's a thing that has been going back and forth with pastors. Sort out who's doing the doing. But there is that other sermon coming along again. The parable of the treasure in the field. Bible students go back and forth between the two interpretations. The kingdom of God is worth giving up all that we have. And I am reminded of a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot. He was traveling around the country raising money to go to the mission field. And as he was doing that, he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to keep what can never be lost." That is true. And so Jim Elliot got the money together to fund going to the mission field and went to South America. And within the first couple of days there, he was killed by natives who did not want to receive the gospel of the kingdom. The carrying on of that story has his wife returning to that spot, a widow mourning her husband, and now the natives were afraid of her. And then she was telling them about Jesus, and then they listened and came to faith. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to keep what can never be lost. But applying that to the parable of the treasure in the field, if gaining the kingdom depended on me, depended on me having to sacrifice, or depended on me having to give things up, or depended on me having to hold on to it, or depended on me having to keep a treasure, well, number one, that is something I'm not sure I could do faithfully or even good enough. And second, that would be a terrible burden. It would not be a comfort for my soul if I had to hang on to that treasure. Well, that could bring in all kinds of fears and doubts. And so if Jesus is telling the parable the other way in order to tell me about how he has come, how he has purchased, how he has given up things to win my soul, well, that's very close to the song, "The Church is One Foundation." You know the lines. "From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died." And if Jesus is going to count me as his treasure, well, that's sweet. That's the gospel message right there. And to know that my Savior has counted me as worth giving up all that he had in order to purchase me. What do I say to that? Well, that is the question of the other sermon from Romans chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? Here's the other things that we respond to. God is for us. Christ Jesus died, was raised, is at the right hand of God, is indeed interceding for us, and there is power in what he has done. Remember, who is the doer of the doings? He foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Christ Jesus died, was raised, is at the right hand of God, is interceding for us. And because of all that he has done, then comes along Paul's words, we are more than conquerors. And how are we more than conquerors? Through him who loved us. There's a power in the gospel message, in the news of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The sweet gospel message has a power that can change our lives, that can touch our neighbors and friends, that can heal the broken parts of our nation, that can change the course of the world. There is promise after promise after promise bound up in this. And Paul takes these promises and faces off all of the things that threaten. Tribulation, distress, persecution, death, life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation. And the promises are eternal and the promises endure. God to Abraham, in you and in your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. It is Jesus that the promises are bound up in. God to Israel, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And the word of God and the saving acts of God do indeed set them free. Or in the Psalms, something to remember every day of our life. When those days of trouble come, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you, and you will praise me. That's Psalm 50:15. Or the words of Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Notice he doesn't say, greater love has no one than this in the normal course of life. It's an absolute statement. There is no greater love in the whole of history, in the whole of eternity, in everything that has ever happened from the beginning to the end, and then on into eternity, that Jesus laid down his life for his friends, and he called you his friends. Well then, if that's the case, we have something that clarifies what's said in the parable. Then and only then. Only when it has first been about Jesus and his love. Only then can the other part of the meaning come along. We love because he first loved us. And what Jesus does, his life, his dying, his rising, fills the parable with the meaning about him. And only when he has purchased and won us and we have first been loved by God, with a love that is greater love has no one than this, only then are we able to love because he first loved us. Everything is built on the love of God in Jesus Christ and how he has counted you as a treasure of infinite worth and value. Only then does it turn around and open up where we can say, yes, and the kingdom of God to me is of infinite worth and value because my Savior Jesus is of infinite worth and value. And then the two sermons blend together and come together. In the words of Paul, this written from Rome, almost at the end of his imprisonment, those 2 years, and he writes to the Philippians, and he tells about his treasure. And he says, of all of the rest of the things in life, he says, I count all things as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I count them as rubbish because Jesus counted everything as worth giving up for me. Therefore, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.